Broncos training camp is just 9 days away. What are the most certain and uncertain components about this football team at the starting gun? Day one of training camp, right around the corner. It's Zach Byfillin for Mike Evans this morning, and we invite in our good buddy Troy Rank, Broncos insider from Denver 7, presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. Troy, welcome back to the program. When I asked you that question, hey, training camp, 9 days away, what are the most certain and uncertain components of this football team?
Well, the most certain is the defense in general, but the secondary specifically. With the additions of the cornerbacks they've made, and you bring back Kareem Jackson, run it back one more year with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. So that's the most certain, and that's the strength of the team. I would say along with Garrett Bowles, he was arguably their best player last year, certainly was in terms of postseason awards. So I'd throw him in there. Uncertain, it's quarterback and it's right tackle and it's offensive identity. Who are they going to be? My guess is the more I've had time away from OTAs, and I was just reading a thing about Alex Gibbs today, someone that Mark Schlereth knows well. And when they were really good in Denver under Mike Shanahan to take pressure off John Elway, they ran the football. And we keep asking these quarterbacks to be good, and I just don't know how capable they are of being really good. So I do believe they're going to have an offensive identity of running the football with the addition of Javonte Williams to take pressure off the quarterback. But uncertain is clearly quarterback, which is the worst position to be uncertain, and right tackle.
Let me ask you about just you mentioned Garrett Bowles and just kind of the breakout season he had. I think Zach brought it up. ESPN ranked the Broncos as the 17th kind of best offensive line, if you will. Brandon Thorne did a whole breakdown on the top 50 interior players, and the only guy to crack the top 50 was Von Miller. How do you look at both sides of the line of scrimmage, and what do you think of the Broncos' chances of climbing kind of up the ranks on both lines of scrimmage?
Yeah, we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Bowles had a type of rebound season I've never seen from a player in terms of where his career was headed to where it is now, from the guy on the brink of leaving town to being a franchise cornerstone. So he's the anchor of the line now. They need better from Graham Glasgow. He was hurt. He dealt with COVID, but they paid him a lot of money, including $26 million guaranteed. He needs to be, you know, a top 12, top 10 type guard. He can't be just a guy. That hurts. And Lloyd Cushenberry has to continue on his trajectory. There's a reason they drafted Quinn Meinerz, is because Cushenberry really struggled the first half of the season. But I expect him to continue to improve as he did in the second half. Dalton Reisner, for me, is a solid player who can be a Pro Bowl player. I think Dalton dealt with some injuries last year that, you know, held him back a little bit. Basically, every guy on that line has to improve. If Bowles just maintains his play, he's fine. They got to figure out the right tackle spot. But along the defensive line, Bradley Chubb's a Pro Bowler. Von Miller, if healthy, the two of them combined should be around 25 sacks. Draymond Jones is a promising young player. The X factor for me kind of in that group is Shelby Harris. He can change games with his ability to deflect passes and get inside pressure. And they don't have a lot of depth, though. Malik Reed led them with eight sacks. But beyond Malik, they're thin out there. Is that going to be a Jonathan Cooper, the draft pick from Ohio State? Are they going to sign a guy in camp? That would be a concern. But that's a reminder to Bronco fans that they're not going to win with a bunch of star players. They have to play complementary football. And they have to kind of use the scheme to elevate the level of play, because it's not just roll out the ball. We have 6-7 Pro Bowlers on each side. That's not who this Broncos team is.
Troy and Troy Ranks stopping by here on Schlereth and Evans. Zach by filling in for Mike Evans this morning. A guy that I continue to ask about is Michael Ojemudia. The Broncos just drafted this player a year ago with their first third round pick. And since then, the Broncos have brought in Kyle Fuller. They brought in Ronald Darby. They drafted Patrick Surtain. They did not say goodbye to Bryce Callahan. So he's still very much in the mix. And I just wonder, like, a year after we had such high hopes, and the Broncos more than anyone, because there was, you go back to draft night, ESPN did not have him, Michael Ojemudia, on the 10 best available corners to draft. Broncos took a chance on him, and 1 year later doesn't seem like he's going to be in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's not necessarily an indictment on Ojemudia as it is the depth. Now, you'd hate to have to address things in free agency that you drafted. What it does reflect, though, Zach, is he's not ready to be that, you know, regularly consistent guy. And maybe he becomes that, but Vic Fangio is coaching for his job. Vic Fangio knows his defense. He knows the film. He watched every snap. So he probably looks at Michael. This is me, my educated guess, that he's got talent. He's a decent young player, but we're a better team if he's a depth guy, if he can come in and we pick spots for him. And that just means you're improving the talent of the group. Now, you wish you could have done that with him as part of that, but I would say this with Michael Ojemudia. Don't give up on him, because there's no guarantee Fuller and Callahan are back next year. I mean, there's just not, especially if Fangio's gone. So there might still be a path here for Ojemudia to be a regular and be a starter. I just think the urgency of this team and this defense doesn't exactly coincide with his timeline of development. He wasn't necessarily ready last year when he played a lot, and now this year he might be, but they've got guys in front of him, so somewhere toward the end of this year or even next year might be his big opportunity. But I'm not giving up on him, because he likes football. He's a smart guy. He likes contact. He dealt with some technique issues with missed tackles that really got him in the doghouse. You'll see an improved version. It might mean less snaps, but they could really use him the following season when they could have a cornerback issue again.
You know, one of the things that I'm really interested in watching during camp, Troy, is just kind of the competition that will be the running back position. And I think from a depth standpoint, quality of player standpoint, this is where George Payton really attacked this team. And you talked about them wanting to run the ball better, you know, them having an identity in running the ball. How do you see kind of that whole running back room compared to what it was last year coming into camp?
Well, last year they just didn't complement each other well. We saw on paper Lindsey and Gordon said this could be a dynamic, and it never was, because they rarely played together. They didn't trust Phil in the passing game, which, again, I'm not exactly sure why, but that changed everything. And then Gordon was slow out of the gate. He finished strong. But to your point, you've got a guy in Javonte Williams whose running style, when I've talked to Javonte, is like Nick Chubb, Marshawn Lynch. Guys are going to see six contact, guys that wants to run people over. You got Melvin Gordon. I'm not saying he's in better shape, because he's a workout fiend, but he's quicker. I mean, just from watching him in OTAs and then going to his pro football camp, even his mom said it, you know, last year he looked a little slow through the hole. He looks better to me. He looks lighter on his feet, and he's in a contract year. And then you have Mike Boone, who's an explosive, dynamic guy. He's going to help on special teams, but he's a nice change of pace guy. They have way more depth. You know, I don't know what happens with Royce Freeman. He's a great guy, character guy. But, again, as they try to improve the roster, they've changed that room. And the three of those guys, if they're going to get to the finish line, whether that's 9-8, 10-7, we got to look up at the end of the year, and they got to be a top 10 running team. And all three of those guys make contributions. And that's where I see their identity offensively, is they have three solid backs. Javonte Williams is a bit of the unknown, but for a college kid, he loves and breathes the contact of it. And that's a great place to start with a running back.
Troy, last one from me before we let you go here. The timetable of the quarterback competition. I think this is a really interesting conversation. Vic Fangio said, hey, this thing is 50-50. To the point, hey, I'm going to flip a coin, he said in jest. And, you know, we know that's going to be the way that it starts in training camp here in 9 days. But over the course of the preseason, would you like to have that answer sooner than later? And if that answer starts to come in focus, do they make a decision? Well, I'll just ask you, if that answer just starts to come in focus, when do you pull that trigger?
Yeah, I think it's imperative you make the decision sooner rather than later for the locker room, for the leadership of the position, for certainty, clarity, to be ready for the opener, to be fair to the entire roster. You don't have to make it go to the finish line of training camp. That, to me, here's where it sets up. You have those joint practices with Minnesota where I'll be there. Those are huge. Those are almost like mini scrimmages,
right,
in terms of the preseason for me. So the practices leading up to that matter. Of course they do. Everything matters. But those scrimmages matter, because guys go get after it in those scrimmages, in those joint practices. Even though they're controlled, they're much more intense. And then the game. After the Seattle game, for me, there needs to be a decision. And if it's close,
I don't care. Make a decision. You can make a decision with it being 51% to 49. You don't have to wait till the very end to say, oh, now we see it, because it does damage to the locker room. They can say it doesn't. I've never covered a quarterback battle or read about one that went to the end where it was healthy dynamic for the team. At other positions, that's different. Quarterback, it's just like a closer in baseball. If you don't know who's coming out of that door in the ninth inning as a team, I literally would watch teams when that door would open and the body language of the players would be like,
right.
Wah, wah, wah.
Right.
You have to know at certain positions. So after the Seattle game, I don't care if it's minuscule. I make a decision because they've had enough time at that point. It's not college. It's not high school. It's professional sports. Make a decision and then go with it. That's my belief. After Seattle, make a decision. There could be extenuating circumstances, but regardless, that's when I'm making a decision.
Troy,
all right,
great stuff, yeah, as always. And actually, Troy, I know I said last one. Let me shoehorn one more quick one in here. Over the weekend, yesterday morning, really, we found out that Gabe Landeskog was left unprotected ahead of the Seattle Kraken expansion draft. I know you're tapped into the Avalanche. We know how big of a deal Gabe Landeskog has been to the Avs from the time that he was taken, you know, second in the draft to becoming the youngest captain in NHL history at just 19. And here this guy is in his prime. What do you make of the dynamics here currently?
Yeah, I mean, the optimist view is he's left unexposed because he wouldn't sign with the Kraken anyway, and you've got this opportunity. There's still the feel that he wants to be here and they want to work something out. I've always been a little uneasy that they could bring both Grubauer and Landeskog back, but that's what I would do at this point. I don't know that there's a bigger opening in free agency to address that would just make sense to let Landy walk, given his, you know, his gravitas in that room. So I still am optimistic they're going to get something done. I was part of an interview with Grubauer last week, and he certainly wants to be here, and he's talking like a guy, and I know they've had some initial talk. He's talking like a guy wants to be here, but, I mean, he's in line for $6 million a year now based on how he played. So money's going to factor in, and Makar is going to cash in. You just saw one of the other young defensemen get paid. I mean, he's the best young defenseman. So that they got to make the puzzle pieces fit. But for now, I remain optimistic that Landeskog would be back.
All right, Troy, perfect place to leave it. Thank you so much. We'll check in with you later in the week.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, there he goes, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by Rox Heating and Air. That's ROX, Rox Heating and Air. It is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.